for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture exposition podcast. Over 14 years, that's not the right number, over 10 years of whatever games meeting combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, and Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
Why don't not a single pen on my table work? If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you listen to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Everyone watches on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, account at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. It does baffle me that not a single fucking pen on my desk works, Max. How am I supposed to record these timestamps, huh?
All digital, baby. All the time.
Oh, no. If it's digital, it doesn't exist, dude. Out of sight, out of mind. It's not that good.
Notes on your phone.
I have so many notes on my phone that I forget that I have. So, kind of reiterates my point. Has it anything cool this week? Anything cool?
No, not really.
Damn it.
My kid went to the movies without me. She was super excited about that.
Was it going to see the film or the specifically the daddy's not here, get excited, this movie's going to be great?
She was invited to go to the movies to see Despicable Me 4 with some of her friends. And she's like, for the whole week, she's like, going to the movies by myself with no parents. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
And I'm like, if you keep carrying on like that, dad's not paying for you to go.
Oh, no.
Nah, she was all right. She had a good time. She came home. She's like, Dad, the Minions had superpowers and they ate bananas. I'm like, okay, cool. Fair enough.
All the key plot points. Spoilers.
Sounds rad.
I hate the Minions so bad.
They're making another one.
Oh.
It's a specifically a Minion movie, not a Despicable Me movie.
That's not good either. So, like, my issue, and I think my issue was matched with many, many people.
When everyone, because you hate
no,
fun.
I hate the memes that all our aunties put on fucking Facebook. That is what I hate. That is what ruined Despicable Me. That is what ruined Minions for me. Mandalorian for me, too. Baby Yoda memes.
Except for the one that I sent you about Concord.
That was funny. That was a good one. There's always some good ones sneak through, all right?
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that problem is don't have family on Facebook.
Yeah, or just don't use Facebook, I suppose. Probably would be a good one.
How would we converse without Facebook?
Well, that's exactly true. Like, aside from Messenger. Now, this just sounds like a bunch of old dudes yelling at the sky. But, like, yeah, I don't... You know, Facebook is not very fun. I use it mostly for memories and go, "Aw, remember that thing from 8 years ago? That was cool."
And I literally only use it for chat.
Yeah.
If I could have Facebook Messenger without having to use Facebook, I would.
Yeah. And because, like, I'm one of those people that I don't add people. They have to add me because I never want to be that guy. Someone goes, "Ew, why are they adding me?" So if I don't do it. You know, and but then I get to be the guy that goes, "Ew, why are they adding?" I get to be the holder of the power. It's a good feeling.
Why not? anything exciting happen to you this week?
No, I didn't set fire to my house this week, so that was good. What did I do this week? Not a whole lot, really. It does, like, it's been a pretty cold and, like, crotchety week. It's freezing and starting to rain now as we're really heading into winter. And so my house has been unbearable. So I don't go anywhere else because, you know, why? I did work wrestling this weekend. On Saturday, I worked two shows. I was ring announcer for the afternoon show. And then at the end of the night, they're like, hey, do you want to ring announce for the night show as well? And I was like, all right, well, looks like next show I'm doing both. Double Dutes Betson, which is really helpful because, also not helpful, because I nearly blew up my voice doing just the first one. So it was a lot of, like, harshness in my throat hole from...
You didn't pace yourself because you...
No, were right. No, I was like, I got one show. It's the afternoon. Let's go. Let's give this Thomastown market, the best wrestling man yelling in a microphone they can. And I did. And I gave it my all. And it really hurt my throat. Thankfully, today's okay, though. But other than that, not a whole lot. Been pretty chill. Pretty quiet. You might get a kick out of this, though. So I got a video call from my son today. And he goes, Daddy, I have been watching, YouTube videos of, people that eat spicy food. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, cool. Yeah, so I've got these. And then he shows me a bag of Takis and some, like, hot and spicy gummy bears. So apparently, Millie, his mum, was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then so they went down to, like, the, American whatever shop, got some of this novelty stuff. The thing that is most insane, and I said this to you when I spoke about it before I said it to when I was... I mean, not to you, but I was talking about with people, is that, my son, with his little ASD brain, he is so selective on what he eats. Like, there are things that, like, when it comes to seasoning, he's like, nah. But he's like, what's this? Is a spicy thing I saw on YouTube? Can I eat it? He hated it. He absolutely hated the taki. The gummy bears, he didn't mind. They weren't too bad. But... I'm going to have to find him videos on, like, how to eat vegetables. And, like, is there, like, a how many bits of broccoli can you fit in your mouth challenge that we can, like, make him eat? Some greens?
Dude, the answer to all your prayers, will it blend?
But, yeah, so it was fun. To his credit, like, he didn't even hesitate. It was just, yeah, boom. Yeah, no, I didn't like it. It's weird, but it's a really good turning point for him because, like, trying to get him eating outside of his, like, standard 5 to 7 meals is a big step. Even try, like, hey, you've had this when you were little. He's like, no. What a prick. But, yeah, he had enjoyed that. Other than that, not a whole lot. I have been... playing a couple of games this week, some that you have also, and some that you haven't. But let's get the first one out of the way. So big thank you to the team over at PlayStation Australia. They did provide us the review code, the code for the Concord beta, back when it was originally meant to be pre-order exclusive only. I think, you needed codes or whatever, so that was all organized. And then we get it, and then, like, immediately the announcement goes out that if anyone has PS Plus, hey, you can play it. So I was like, cool. The code's great, but cool. Could have just not done anything. But I say that not in an ungrateful way, just in a, like, oh, that's real bizarre. Like, where's the communication there? But Concord is the latest release from the recently acquired PlayStation, recently acquired first party PlayStation studio, Firewalk. It's a 5v5 hero shooter. Is that the best way to explain it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so Max and I have been playing over the last couple of days. We've been playing a little bit together. Ooh. Max, as this is probably within your wheelhouse more, because I know that you have played a lot more Overwatch in the day.
Yeah.
How are you finding the Concord?
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Perfectly fine. So I haven't played shooters in quite some time, and this is not reinventing the wheel. The maps are the same 3 kill lanes that every multiplayer map on any shooting game ever is. It has some elevation, it has some depth, but that's it. It's got, like, some ups and downs. But essentially, it's a 3-lane corridor. In this beta, we have access to one game mode, which is essentially kill confirmed from Call of Duty. Yeah. So you get a kill, they drop a tag, you pick up the tag. Once you've collected 30 tags, your team wins. It's fine. All the characters have three abilities, one passive, two active. So your active abilities are tagged to your L1, R1, and your passive ability, depending on what it does, will be tied to a dodge mechanic or affect one of your other skills in some certain ways. So some of the characters have essentially, like, on dodge, your weapons will reload. That's their passive skill, which is cool. The time to kill is very bizarre, depending on which character you're playing. The lightweight characters that are more used for scouting do little to no damage and feel like they're made out of paper mache. The tanks, for some reason, do way too much damage than they should and take no damage whatsoever. And the middle characters that are kind of supposed to be your damage dealers feel like they do way too much damage and can still tank a hit. Now, there's health pickups all over the map. In my opinion, there's way too many health pickups on the map. They all have a 30-second cooldown timer, I believe. It's 30 seconds, 20, 30 seconds. But there's so many that it's not a big deal. You can kind of just run to the next one. It doesn't take too long. I've played 3 rounds so far, and I've played the same fucking map each time. I don't know if that's because there's only one map or not, or if I've just gotten really unlucky. The characters themselves look all right. They're very diverse. You've got, you know, pistol users, people that can stealth. You've got some rocket launcher guys. You've got... It does fit. It has enough to kind of fit your playstyle. There's enough character choice and gameplay choice to pick whichever style of play that you want to play as. The game is very punishing if you don't play together as a team.
Oh, yes.
It is a team-based shooter. It's not a run and gun, go for your life, solo carry. As I pointed out to you the other day, in a world where Overwatch exists and Overwatch is free to play and Blizzard make really good games, this at a $60 price point for us here in Australia is a bit... Like, if my time's going to be taken up by only one hero shooter, when you've got Valorant from Riot Games, which is free to play, you've got Overwatch 2 from Blizzard, which is free to play, you've got the upcoming Marvel Legends, which is a beloved IP, this, I feel, may struggle in this genre.
I agree with you in pretty much every part of that. Like, so the way your choice of fine is, when we were playing earlier, you mentioned aggressively fine, and I think that is definitely one of the best ways to explain this game, because, like, going into it, like, I'm enjoying it, but I wouldn't rush to play it, but I'm not having such an overwhelmingly positive experience, but I'm not hating it either. It's like, it is by perfect understanding fine,
because that's a thing. Let me just double check, but I have a feeling, is it Marvel Legends?
Rivals.
It's Rivals. I'm just trying to work out, is that going to be a free-to-play game? Because if it is, Concord is the only hero shooter that fucking costs money to buy into.
So to expand on that point, one of the things we also discuss is, yes, all those other games are free-to-play, and all their money comes through microtransactions and skins. So what would be very interesting if we're looking at Concord is, how are they planning on implementing their microtransactions? If they have a similar market as your Overwatch, your Valorant, etc., but you've still got that $60 Australian entry, that'll be a problem. Now, I understand, very similar to that of Helldivers, I think there was mention that Concord would be trying to do something similar. But I would assume the Helldivers 2 season pass model worked, because they're still doing it. Having not played Helldivers 2 in like a month and a bit, easy, I couldn't tell you what's going on right now. I couldn't tell you how many season passes have gone through. But if they're doing a similar structure where the game feeds you enough credits easily to be able to upgrade, but if you want more, you just got to push that a little bit harder, that would be ideal. And especially with this ongoing weekly new story plan that they have, like, that's, you know, where is that all fitting in as well? Because there's no store anything that we could dip our toes in with the beta. So there's no way to demonstrate what that would be. And to that end, looking, when you head into the, what is it called? The Free Runners menu, where you can go in there and customize each of your characters, it does appear that the only things you can alter are cosmetic. Like, there's no alternate weapons, it's just alternate weapon skins. So I assume that's very similar to Overwatch, in that every character will always have the exact same weapon. You can't boost it, you can't, you know, drop it. It'll just be consistent. You can only pick how they look, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that does change things a little bit, but then like, how easy is it to earn the in-game whatever to be able to do this? Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, I've played probably like 10 or so rounds minimum. I don't know. I did have a good run at it yesterday. Sorry, this morning, and a good run at it with yourself earlier. So I'm like, I think I've seen more than one map, but I also can't tell you if I have. Because, as you mentioned, the design is so similar. I'm like, what, did that one have... I think that one had a rock square that I could... Oh, I know, I have. I have done two levels. There's one that's in, like, a stereotypically Arabic backstreet desert town. Very Tatooine, Mos Eisley, sort of. Mm-hmm. And then there was one that was in, like, a cave with, like, a ball in the middle. Kind of made me think of the old Halo maps, but it clearly isn't, because that was, like, way more verticality. So yeah, there are two, and they're distinct yet completely identical.
Yeah.
So in terms of the characters though, like, which are the ones that you had gravitated? Obviously, with a hero shooter, the things that are most important are the heroes.
So, the main character I've been using was, like, I think his name is Flak. He's essentially an astronaut with a jetpack and a rocket launcher. His passive skill is, if you are floating, your rocket launcher will home in twice as fast. Ooh. So he has like a triple jump. His left active ability is hover mode, and his right active ability is you like charge up and you like slam the ground with your fist. Useless skill. Absolutely useless. Does no damage whatsoever. So essentially I just triple jump up to a high point. I hover, and then you can dodge left and right to like move yourself around while you're hovering, and I kind of just rain fire from above, kind of like whatever the character's name is from Overwatch, who just rocket jumps up, flies around, shoots rockets at people. Easy. The other character that I used a little bit was a support character she had a really shitty crossbow that you could charge up and it shoots.
Oh, Hellfire.
Actually,
I'm gonna pull up the names just so we can.
She's got a really shitty ability that makes like a fire, like a line of fire in front of her that it feels like it deals no damage, because I had so many people just run straight through it and just kill me. But I haven't played everyone. I've dabbled for a little bit in each one, because obviously every time you die, you get kicked back to the hero menu. To redeploy as a different hero, if that is your wish.
Oh, Haymar was her name, the chick with the crossbow.
So yeah, there's a, like I said earlier, there is kind of, you'll kind of find someone that fits your playstyle, whether you want someone to run and gun, you want someone to be a bit tankier, you want to be a support character, a healer, there's a sniper, there's a few different bits and bobs to kind of muddle together a group.
And also the girl you referenced, her name was Rock, or Rocker, one of the two, Rocky.
But yeah, none of them kind of like really stand out to me.
Yeah, I'm in a similar space. So the characters that I spent the most time with, which was one named Davers, Davers, they, one that looks like they're wearing a hazmat suit, they got a grenade launcher. And the grenade launcher does seem to do quite a good job. It's, you know, it's not too slow in its fire rate. It does do significant difference, enough for me to go, oh, I think this might be the one. As someone who can die quite quickly because of their very, very, very strong lack of skill, be able to put a bunch of dents into someone before I die is certainly helpful. For her dodging gave you a bit of extra bump. Yeah, that one was alright. The other one that I did, I picked him because I liked the assault rifle. Because I tried to play with a couple of the more pistol-based characters, and I felt like I wasn't getting enough punch. And then, yeah, with the speed at which you die, it was like, no. So the guy named Jabali, he's wearing the teal jacket, which is the beautiful color that I cannot see because it makes my eyes hurt because of color blindness. But, yeah, so I the weapon itself is quite good to play. They're not too bad. I'm looking at their abilities now, and I only just realized what the hell they were. So, like, first one's a life pulse, so throw an orb that creates a healing aura around an ally when absorbed. Threw a bunch of them, didn't see it do that once. Hunter orb, offensive orb that seeks out and damages enemies. Threw a bunch of them, never gonna believe it, didn't see that once. So, is that very likely that I'm asshole at the game? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. But, yeah, just maybe I wasn't throwing him or whatever, whatever. But the other one I played was Teo, whatever, that guy. Because he just looked like Soldier 76 from Overwatch. And that's the one that I like to play the most of when I did play Overwatch. The other was the Sabrina. She was pretty cool. But, yeah, look, I know that I am not the target audience for this title. Because it's not a genre that I normally play. But playing it, though, it did fill me with that similar feeling of playing, you know, Call of Duty back in the day. But maybe that's just because it's been so infrequent since I've played it, and that's my connected memory of those experiences. Like, because I did grab Overwatch and play it when it came out, but because I spent a lot of time at playing myself, I don't have those connected memories, potentially. Because then again, yeah, jumping in with yourself, it was like, oh, okay, cool. It did feel like, you know, the times we played DMZ and shit. But not because it's map-based rather than the big open world. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to articulate my point, but I'm hoping that by saying more words, it'll help me come to a firmer stance. Because it does feel very floaty and like, yeah, it's this and it's that.
I think this. The big thing, the big takeaway is that this is a buy into play versus the rest of its genre, generally speaking, being a free to play game model.
Yeah, and it's going to need to have something pretty insane to be able to get people out of the way, especially in the time concentration market that we are in within the gaming space. Because, you know, someone like yourself, Max, even though it is similar but very different, would you give up your Destiny time for this game?
No.
And even in myself, in my current hyper-focus and hyper-fixation on the Elder Scrolls Online, would I stop playing that instead to play this? Probably not. And I think a lot of that is the lack of the story, which is interesting because this game, pitched the idea of this huge story, but in between my matches, I'm not feeling that there is any advancement in the story, which is the downfall of these side of games.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. Anything else you played this week?
Yeah, I've actually played a fair bit this week, despite the fact that I sent you a message earlier this week going, I haven't really played much this week. So I re-downloaded The Witcher 3.
Oh yeah, oh, the PS5 version.
I totally forgot that I had a PS5 version, so I've been spending some time with that. The game's still fucking great.
Are you noticing these PS5 enhancements?
Oh yeah.
What are you saying?
I mean, it looks better. Fast travel is just instantaneous now. It doesn't take like up to a minute to travel because it's not reloading everything. So there's some benefits. Runs a lot smoother, all that fun stuff. I also dipped my toe into Once Human on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Once Human is the new hotness of multiplayer open world survival games. This is what if Control was an open world survival game. It's got the trippiness of Control with like the mixture of like Eldritch horror.
All right. And
I'm kind of digging it. So that's been fun. And the big thing that I've been diving into this week that I spent most of my time with is Nexon's The First Descendant, which is the new free-to-play looter shooter on everything. It's a third person Destiny, essentially. Your character classes are called Descendants. Each different Descendant has access to four abilities. And you kind of just go, I'm currently going through the campaign. It essentially has 4 to 5 different mission types, and they just change them up in each different location to make it kind of interesting, but you're kind of doing the same thing over and over again. So you do a bunch of fetch quests, essentially. It'll be like, go here, slay all the enemies in the area, go here, slay all the enemies in the area until one drops a bomb, then you can blow up the specific thing. The next will be, go to this area, kill all the enemies, and they'll drop specific things that you need to collect. Cool, do that. And then you do... I think they call them expeditions here. They're essentially like mini strikes from Destiny, where you go and do a few objectives in a row. And then the big selling point is you have like a big fuck off boss battle in a boss arena. And then you kind of rinse and repeat and go through until you unlock the next boss. For whatever reason, it's scratching that itch. I'm just running around, shooting shit, collecting loot, upgrading my character, doing my thing. It's cool. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah.
I bet. Yeah, because it was interesting. Like, because you did ring me in voice messages, I should say. Like, we were chatting. You're like, I'm just not like feeling games right now, and I'm not sure why. And so we're having sort of discussion around like, is it the weather? Is it like a seasonal thing? Because it is kind of cold and crappy. So like, do we want to just disengage more and like watch something? And then you're like, well, I have watched 4 seasons of a show in the last week. Like, well, that's probably a good indicator.
Up to season 5 now.
Oh, jeez. The Rookie, wasn't it?
A Rookie.
There you go.
With Nathan Fillion. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, so I'm not paying attention to the story of First Ascent. I'm skipping every single cutscene. Yeah. I'm just going through the motions.
It's me with Elder Scrolls, man.
I'm kind of just zoning out and doing my thing.
And yeah, and I get that, because that's exactly what I'm doing with the Elder Scrolls. I'm normally listening to a podcast or doing something, right? That I'm just hiking my way through, doing the stuff. So I have completed all of the Gold Road DLC. I thought I had last time I spoke about it, but no, I have definitely wrapped that up. Done all the missions, unlocked all the area. I was like, cool. Then moved on to the next space. But I am kind of in that similar space to you as well, with that, like, that bit of a rut, not quite finding the thing. I tried to play Alan Wake 2, haven't really gone back. What I did pick up again this week, though, was Persona 4 Golden. So I was in bed because it was cold and my house is cold as fuck. So I was like,
man, weeby games.
So I was like, I'm in bed and I have my portal. What? Oh, last thing I played on a handheld was Persona 4 Golden, and it felt really good playing it on the portal. I was like, sweet, easy, done. And was enjoying that. That was great. That was a great ton of fun. But the other game that I had picked up, well, I should say I picked up that I've been playing, is it's called Cornucopia. So, this one came through my email, or the Pops email, and I was like, oh, hello. Because I was like, it's a farming game, farming sim, lifestyle sim, whatever they're specifically called. I'm like, well, this is well up in my wheelhouse. Like, it's not a sim game like your standard farming simulator or cooking or drug dealer or whatever game that is. But it's not, you know, like a Harvest Moon. It is like a perfectly visually intriguing 2.5D Stardew Valley, in that it's 2.5D, but everything is like that. You know, the world itself is 3D rendered, but all the items, all the plants, all your sprites are those 2D pixels. So as you walk and you flip around, you know, like these ones, I don't know how to explain it. That it's pretty cool. So when I first bit of the game, I was like, sick, this looks really intriguing, being that it is a essentially 3D Stardew Valley. Cool. That novelty is alone for me. Started setting up, going through it, and okay, cool, it feels very much like Stardew Valley. Until you start, you know, preparing, you know, the field for crops, and you're finding that there's different soils, and each of them have, you know, different properties and different seeds, like different soil. And then on top of that, you then need to balance the nitrogen, the potassium, nitrogen, potassium, NPK, and phosphorus in the soil to sort of make them grow at their ultimate. I'm like, damn, okay, this is cool. Like where they took what was a, you know, very similar with Stardew Valley, it was with its sort of throwback design to Harvest Moon Back to Nature. Like they've kept it very similar. Where here they've done that and they've given that a little bit of an extra kick. Now, it is interesting how the time works in the game for me so far. Is that like I've played a little bit and I've been enjoying the air, but I've not left my farm yet. Because, like, I did a bunch of, like, a couple of small things, and then my energy was kind of gone really quick. And I was like, shit, well, what can I do? It's 10 in the morning in the game. I've just been playing the tutorial, and now my character's suddenly tired. What the fuck am I supposed to do? So it did kind of, like, you know, throw me off the air, and then I was like, oh, well, I'll just start clearing stuff. Next thing you know, I'm clearing all the trees, clearing up all the rocks, getting all my little routine, and I am enjoying, like, that hook in that part of my brain that loves those farming games because of their ability to like chill out the fucking chaotic nature of my ADHD brain to be just like, oh, cool. And then with repetitive tasks, it's beautiful. I love it. And yeah, visually it's fantastic. Even the loading screens are these really cool little pieces of art and they just pop and it looks really, really fun. Other than that, what else have I been playing? I think that might be it. Let me have a ponder. No, I think that's it. I've been playing a bit more Go-Go Town, which I have been enjoying. It's one of those little games I just spent a couple minutes in when I sit at my desk. But other than that, no, I think that's it.
Fair enough.
No, that is it. Oh, that's bum. Oh, well. Anyways, let's get to the section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
We'll kick things off with the announcement of the extra and premium titles coming this month. We have, on PlayStation Extra, we have Remnant 2, PS5, Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII, Reunion, PS5, PS4, Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous, Enhanced Edition, PS4, Mountain Blade 2, Bannerlord, PS5, PS4, No More Heroes 3, PS5, PS4, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, PS4, Jackbox, Party Pack 9, PS5, PS4, Deadcraft, PS4, Steep, PS4. And for those who have premium, we have Job Simulator, PSVR 2, Summoner, PS2, Ratchet & Clank, Size Does Matter, PSP, and Jeanne d'Arc, PSP.
So, it's fine? Like, wasn't Remnant 2 a game you got a kick out of?
Remnant 2 is great. Remnant 2 is like
a soul... Is that the From the Ashes? Remnant 2 From the Ashes or whatever?
So Remnant 1 was Remnant from the Ashes, so Remnant 2 is the next game from
there. Well, my bad.
It's good, though.
Yeah.
Not a bad pickup. Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion, obviously another big one. Jackbox games are always pretty fun.
Yeah. Steep was interesting. It started not really good, and then it got noticeably better. So I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe now it'd be worth checking out. But if we want further demonstration that... the PSVR 2 is kind of dunskies, is the inclusion of some VR titles in this month's doohickey. Job Simulator is fantastic, though, so it is kind of it's worth it. But it's also, if you got a PSVR 1 or 2, it's probably one of the first ones you play. Like, it is kind of always in the top 10 list. What about yourself, Max? How do you feel about all this?
I mean, Remnant 2 is worth it alone. Apparently, the Jeanne d'Arc for PSP is one of the best like tactical RPGs ever.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, I don't have premium anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, I think mine runs out next month. I might just bump it back down because, like.
Maybe I'll have to a la carte it.
Ooh. Yeah, because like, I'm in a position where I'm like, I look at. Like, I have premium because I thought I'd need it, and I really, really haven't. So I might bump down. It's going to hurt me.
Yeah, it's like, when's the last time it's going to save you $100 over the year, though.
Oh, I could do with $100. Oh, yeah, I really could.
It's one of those things of like, when did I last play a deluxe title? And then you're like, when did I last play an extra title?
Yeah, that, oh my God, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, should I just go back to like essential?
Well, because I like the option, because then my son can be like, I want to play this game. I'm like, sure, here it is. Yeah. You want to add the next bit as well, since there's only two major news sections?
Yep. PlayStation Stars is back.
Yay!
Finally.
Yeah. Did you miss it?
Yeah, because so I thought I sorry. Right after Final Shape came out for Destiny, they're like, "Hey, we're doing a crossover with Dungeons and Dragons." I'm like, "Ooh, they look cool. I want those. I have enough coins on my PlayStation Stars to buy some gift cards to get the silver." Turns out I fucking didn't, because I forgot that I bought Bellatro for 4,000 coins, so I only had 4,000 left, which is not enough for, to buy the Dungeons and Dragons set. So, Chaboy does not have them.
Well, I was pretty excited because I booted it up and I was glad that all my little collectibles were still there. Not that they mean anything to anyone, but I was like, "Oh, cool! I'm glad they're here." First thing I did was like buy the Nathan Drake and the Kratos little enamel pins. So I was like, "Oh, you know how to get me back. I missed you, Stars." And then I looked at my coin total, and then I didn't do anything else. So looking at the whatever the monthly doohickeys are, pretty low key. I think that's kind of under circumstance of, you know, the US, I think at time of recording, still doesn't have it back. But the big thing that came out of it, Max, was that Bloodborne, the DLC, was tagged under PS5 in the games that you could buy, and the internet had a moment, and they were like, "This means Bloodborne is coming to the PS5, Max. No one has ever entered anything incorrectly. The PSN has never just been utter poo."
Yeah, pretty much. That hurt a little bit.
Yeah. So did you get a little bit of hope for a moment? Did you have a little heart flutter?
No, I just assumed that they fucked it up. Never getting it.
I do. I love that. Yeah, you're like, "No, I didn't even have a moment."
It's trapped on PS4 at 30 frames forever.
Yeah, it's pretty heartbreaking when you put it like that, though.
Yep.
Speaking of a bit of heartbreaking, though, if you're on the other side of things, the Xbox Game Pass has been given a price bump. So Microsoft has confirmed sweeping changes, including price increases to its Xbox Game Pass subscription service in the run-up to October's launch of Call of Duty Black Ops 6, which will include the removal of day one releases for its overhauled basic tier. Sup, Blair, how you doing? As reported by Windows Central, which says Microsoft has now confirmed the details. The first big Game Pass change comes with the imminent closure of X Game Pass for console. While this will continue to be available for existing members until their subscription expires, notably from the 12th of September, Microsoft will only allow users to stack Game Pass for consoles up to 13 months, down from 36, I think it was, or 38. New users looking for a basic tier package will need to subscribe to Xbox Game Pass Standard, which will launch in September. This costs $14.99 US per month and includes Xbox Live Gold for multiplayer gaming, plus access to Xbox back catalog, but not, crucially, access to first party and other releases on day one. This means that console players wanting to play Call of Duty Black Ops 6 via Game Pass when it launches on the 25th of October will need to subscribe to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Ultimate, which will also remain the only Game Pass subscription tier offering access to Xbox Cloud Gaming, is getting a price increase too. With its monthly cost rising from, we've got pounds this time, 12.99 pounds to $16.99 US to $19.99 US, so $3. Things are a little different on PC, however, as PC Game Pass will continue to get day one games, but its price is also increasing from $9.99 US to $11.99 US. There's one additional price increase to note. Xbox Game Pass Core, formerly Xbox Live Gold, will see its annual cost rise from $59.99 US to $74.99 US, but its monthly price remains the same at $9.99 US. Recurring billing prices for all Game Pass offerings increase from the 12th of September, according to Windows Central. Now, the reason we're discussing this on the show here, Max, is you've had a little bit of a look. You've looked at the dollary dues. How is this sitting comparative to your PS Plus?
Let me just pull it back up because my brain is a sieve.
So we're having a moment. Yeah, we'll chat about it.
Yeah, so essentially, obviously, you know, having a look at Games Pass, what they're offering is, what is it, what they call it, is their middle child, which is the extra for us. So their cost was whatever a month. So, sorry, we'll start with the basic. So Essentials for PlayStation, that's PlayStation Plus Essentials, which is similar to Games Pass Core. Games Pass Core is $74.99 a year, mm-hmm. coming up soon. Essential is now PlayStation Plus Essential is $95.95 a year.
I would say that, so this, would it be similar? Yeah. So what's the core? Okay, oh no, because what are they called? Standard. That gets their back catalog. That gets you game.
But they don't have a yearly cost for it, I don't think.
So I'm and I think it's part of why this is confusing, right? So even with PlayStation, with their multiple tiers, it was pretty standard. It was, you get PS Plus, which is just the online stuff, which I guess aligns with Core, and then there's Extra, and then, wait, Extra, then Deluxe. Yeah, because we don't get Premium. Okay, so it is kind of exactly the same. Please ignore me.
So Games Pass Ultimate is just $22.95 a month.
Yeah, and that's...
It doesn't have a yearly thing. And Deluxe for us is $196.95 for a year, or you can pay $22 a month. So it's slightly cheaper than Games Pass Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
But Games Pass Ultimate comes with EA Access, or EA Play, sorry. PlayStation gets Ubisoft Classics.
One of them is better,
and currently, still surprisingly, you can join Games Pass Ultimate for $1.
Yeah. So one of the things that was brought up that caught my attention, and I think it's very interesting, is that there is that mention of that reducing from a 38-month to 13-month of stackability, which tells you they're going to pump that price up again sometime soon.
Well, I think in the way the article is worded, my understanding is that they're only going to be able to stack the current version of Xbox Games Pass for 13 months because that tier will no longer exist and it's being changed to something else. So they want everyone to be done with it within the year of it changing. So that's why they're capping it to 13 months. I don't think it's just in general everything's getting capped. That's not how it feels like it's worded as written.
Possibly. Very possible.
But yeah,
that one buckaroos, that's probably going to go away again real quick.
Yeah. But, you know. Now, I don't have an exact number of games on each service. They're both listed as up to 400 games. Now, obviously, the other big win with Games Pass Ultimate versus PlayStation Plus Deluxe is you get your day one console exclusives on Xbox. You do not get them on PlayStation.
So
there's arguments to be made that PlayStation exclusives are better than Xbox exclusives, and therefore that there's less value in them being available.
But that's too objective, yeah.
But we won't get into that.
Yeah, I agree with that point. I think it's absolutely true. However, it's objective. It's subjective, you know, I should say.
You know, one of those things is, as of this year, PlayStation players will need to pay $125 to play Black Ops 6, or I can play it with my Games Pass Ultimate on day one.
Yeah.
Which I plan on doing.
It is interesting, because the big thing that part of the discussion of the ABK purchase was that, you know, is Game Pass going to get more expensive, whatever? And they're like, nah, and then it kind of does. It doesn't say explicitly, but it is because of that, right? Like, it's taking advantage of everyone coming in for Call of Duty Black Ops. It is business, so it's not like a mad at them for doing capitalism, because that's what they're here to do. But, you know. Blair, Royal Rooster in the chat, does jump in and says, sorry, speaking of Max, just noticed he's clean shaven. Oh, you know, he's clean. Very, very pepper face.
My daughter kept complaining that every time I gave her a kiss on the cheek, I would scratch her.
Oh, that's fair.
I guess it's not a chef.
Blair has the Ultimate Game Pass, which is for Xbox and PC, and it came out at just $18.99. So they might be on that older, because it was 22. They've also added in terms of the contract lenses at length, which, let's be honest, it's hard to get any contract lasting longer than 12 months. So seeing the cap is fair. Yeah. So the idea is you could previously buy, like, you know, when it's on sale for like 20% off or 30% off, you just buy like a couple years worth, end up saving, you know, 100, 200 bucks or something. But that's no longer doable. So it's interesting. Interesting. But yeah, what do you think this means for the future of Game Pass and its future of pricing?
I mean, most of these things go up in price anyway. Mm. It's not that outrageous. It's a pretty small increase. I still think paying, you know, $22 a month is a pretty good value deal for those of us who aren't willing to... especially on Xbox's side. So, and now with the acquisition of ABK, and we assume that those games will be coming day one.
Mm.
When the RRP for most games here in Australia is $120 plus, that's like 6-7 months worth of Games Pass Ultimate. That's 7 months worth of games you can play versus buying one new release game that may come straight to the service anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And because they get EA Play, it means they'll get access to, like, your all the FC, NBA, or like all those sports games that are annualized. A lot of those games will all come across. They come across pretty quickly as well. Like, in a value for money term, it's still a really good deal even after this price increase.
Yeah, it's a tough one. So in my head, the idea of paying something like $20 a month for something makes me want to barf. I don't know, but I know that's a very old mentality, because in my head, that frequency seems...
We do. Like, we do that all the time. Like, Netflix just raised its prices.
Ah, I don't have Netflix.
Like, $26 a month now.
Yeah. Well, I don't have Netflix, but as I'm saying, but what I mean is, in that is in my head. That is the math in my head, because back in the day, the idea of paying over $20 a month for something is insane. And I, you know, part of me is still lost in 2013. 2014 from that pricing, and I go, ew, that seems really expensive. Then I look around and I go, oh, well, actually, well, comparative, it's not really all that expensive now, is it? But it's just how it is.
As Blair puts in the chat, if you play any game off Games Pass for 22 hours, you've paid $1 an hour to play that game.
Yeah, if you are of someone that equates the, you know, time to dollar value, where, like, I played games that I paid, you know, $30 and I got 2 hours out and I thought they're incredible, you know, like Journey is an example. But, you know, depending on how you choose to spend your time, for me, I'd much rather a memorable, shorter experience than a longer, just, I had
did
more
of it. Did
you
see I didn't put it in the news, but did you see the comment made by Take-Two CEO, who believes that AAA titles should be based on a per-hour value, not a one-off cost?
No.
Can you imagine how fucking expensive GTA 5 would be if it was priced?
Dear God. Man, that game's going to make it seem crazy. Royal Roost in the chat goes, if you buy an $80 to $120 for all those that don't get game codes, that's true, spread out over an average month. Yeah, no, I'm very aware that comes from me and a place of privilege, and that I get to play all these games and I don't, you know, have to spend a bunch of dollary dues. Might have been that in general, because, like, we've talked about this in the past. Like, would I play as many games? Would I be in a position? Absolutely not. And I'm very understanding of that. But I guess even for myself, with my ebb and flows of focusing on shit, like, I have Paramount Plus, and I enjoyed it when I got it, and then I forgot I had it, and I still have it, and I can't seem to make myself get rid of it, because I think my kid watches some things on it sometimes. So, like, I understand... You know, yes, I'm technically spending more money in multiple subscriptions or whatever, but I don't know. It just seems gross to me.
This is coming from a person who, yeah, as Prime just introduced ads on their base, like, that you have to pay for no ads now on Prime, which I refuse to do. They can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
But, like, I have Amazon Prime, I have Netflix, I have Stan, I have fucking Disney Plus, I have all of the thing, binge.
Mm.
I think mum pays for Binge, but
well, because like, I got Binge, but that's through my dad. I had Netflix, but that when my ex-wife and I separated, you know, because when they shortly later introduced the IP bullshit, so I'm like, well, that's a fucking waste of time. So now she has an, because she uses it, she paid for it off our old credit card, so like. It's all my login details, but it's only her using it and my kid, which is fine. I pay for Stan, I think. Yeah, Binge is my dad. I have Paramount and Prime's Craig. Stealing everywhere.
Mm.
No wonder Netflix are mad and did all that nonsense. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I pay for, as I said before, I pay for fucking PS Premium and I never use it. I never take advantage of it. But I think it is that little bit of, you know, fear of missing out. That little bit of, oh, but what if there's a cool thing that I want to play for 3 minutes and never play again? Yeah. All right, quick bits.
Phasmophobia is finally coming to PlayStation 5 this Halloween after the myriad of delays that it received.
Yeah, but it's missing some features. It doesn't have the voice. Yep, that's the word. The voice interaction.
Okay.
You have to go in and use the text to speak. For whatever reason, it's not built into the game.
Nudity has been confirmed for Dragon Age Veilguard for everyone who wants to look out with
their cock out. Sexy.
GT7 is getting an update on the 25th of July, adding new cars and tracks.
Oh.
And Dawn Trail, the new expansion for MMO Final Fantasy, has increased their player count since they haven't seen their player count be this large since A Realm Reborn launched back in 2013.
But not even when everyone went off WoW and like they had to close the servers, not even then.
No.
Damn.
They've had more people in Dawn Trail, their latest expansions, than they've had since its official launch back in 2013.
Well, so for yourself, as coming a former Final Detroit. Fantasy...
I don't have time. I don't have time to play a game that requires me to pay money to actively play it.
Yeah.
I would love to go back. I'm like two expansions behind now, but I can't justify spending $30 a month to play the game that I can only play a couple of hours on a weekend. It's not worth it.
Is that the Game Pass proposition there?
Oh, dude, if WoW comes to Game Pass... I'll play WoW. I don't care. I'll play WoW.
All right, but here are the games that are coming to you this week in case you don't have a Game Pass or you can't play WoW or whatever. On the 15th of July, Darkest Dungeon 2 is coming to PS5 and PS4, as well as Retaliate coming to PS5. On the 16th of July, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, sweep the board, PS5, PS4. What the fuck was that, Max?
It's Mario Party Demon Slayer.
Okay. Evil v Evil, PS5. Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn, PS5. Flock, PS5, PS4. Let's School, PS5, PS4. Nobody Wants to Die, PS5. 18th of July, Bow, Path of the Teal Lotus. Over Horizon X, Steel Empire, PS4. Shim, S-C-H-I-M, Shim, PS5, PS4, 9th of July, EA Sports College Football, that game is going to be huge in the US. And finally, Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, PS5, makes anything getting you excited?
Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn is a Soulsborne. So, that's cool. Darkest Dungeon's pretty cool. Other than that, EA Sports College Football is probably the big one this week, though.
Yeah, not for me, or for not you, for, maybe.
I mean, I like Madden, but like I play all the Madden games the same way.
Yeah, and the thing with this is it's the first time the college players are being fairly represented. They're being named, they're getting paid, and this is like there's not been a college football game in God knows how long, so. I know that to the right people in the right places is in a very, very exciting week. Personally, couldn't give a shit.
It'd be huge in Texas.
Oh, massive in Texas. Like any of those college towns? Woo. Yeah. Ooh, love it. But let's wrap this bad boy up.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations, well, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Blair, early finish tonight. Not even yawning or sleeping. I know.
There was no news.
It's a quiet week. There's not much to do. Okay. Really sorry.